Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, Israel, the decrees and the laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face after the fire on the mountain. At that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire, and I did not go up the mountain." And he said, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land of your in the land your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness. And he had nothing more. Then he wrote them on two stone tablets, and they gave them to me."
Well, what is in a name? What is in a name? Some of you will know, I used to, before I started in ministry, I used to work as a lawyer. And one of the areas of practice for me was in the area of brand protection, in looking after names. And one particular client that I looked after was a company called the Dali Foundation, who looked after the legacy of a man called Salvador Dali. Now, if you don't know who Salvador Dali is, I've got a little picture for us. Here he is. Look at that. That's quite a moustache, isn't it? That's a challenge for next week. See if we can grow one of those. That's Salvador Dali, a Spanish artist, crazy, famous, lots of weird pictures and sculptures. Now, the problem for the Dali Foundation was that, there were some other people in London who thought they could use the Dali name for themselves to make lots of money. So they set up an exhibition on the River Thames called Dali, and they filled it with lots of art and sculptures, lots of which wasn't actually by Dali at all. And the copies that they had in there, they weren't really that good. Now, things got very exciting when they asked me to go and check it all out. Undercover operation. This was before the days of smartphones, so I took the little office camera with me, tootled off down the river, and there I was, covert operation, Dali. Well, whether it's companies or it's people, actually protecting names and reputations is big business. There's a whole load of laws, in fact, in the UK that are aimed at doing exactly that. Go and have a read of the Trademarks Act 1994, Section 10, Subsection 3, if you're interested. Actually, those things matter because it's easy for names to be smeared, for reputations to be tarnished. Well, the third commandment is the original law on name protection, and it is the most important of all. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Now, the name here is the divine name. It is Yahweh. That's the name we're thinking about. It's the name that God revealed to Moses, if you remember, at the burning bush back in Exodus 3. If you remember, God wants Moses. He wants him to go back to scary old Pharaoh and bring the people out of Egypt. Moses is not wild, it's fair to say, about the idea of going back to Egypt. Little old me with Pharaoh. So God says, don't worry, I will be with you. And Moses says, well, if I go back and tell them that the God of their fathers has sent me, well, they say, well, what's his name? What shall I say? God says to Moses, I am who I am. Tell them, I am has sent you. Tell them, Yahweh has sent you, the Lord. See, that's where we get those four letters in our Bibles. We have those little four letters, Lord. They come from the Hebrew four letters, Yahweh. In fact, I've got a little slide for us. There they are. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Yahweh. Capitals, Lord. Now, the Lord's name is holy. So holy, in fact, that the Jews, they often wouldn't dare to say it for fear of mispronouncing it. Actually, the ancient scribes, before they got to those four little letters, and they came to write them in their scrolls, they'd wash themselves from head to foot. They'd wipe their pens clean. And as they wrote them, they'd declare, I am writing the name to sanctify, to holify, if you like, the name. Now, we don't need to worry about taking those sorts of precautions, but actually we are called in the same way, aren't we, to sanctify God's name. Now, as we look around us in the world today, I guess it's probably not hard to see that this is perhaps the most neglected of all of the commandments. We are the OMG generation. We hear the name of Jesus used everywhere, yes, but almost always in anger or frustration or surprised. You know, I was thinking about this, watching under-8s football on Wednesday night, as you do. For spectators of under-8s football, there is a very clear code of conduct that parents and others must follow. Never engage in or tolerate offensive, insulting, or abusive language. Now, parents actually are pretty good at following that when it comes to swearing. That's pretty taboo with under-8s, it turns out. But when it comes to misusing God's name, you know, on Wednesday night, I actually started counting. But I stopped after a while because it was just making me very, very miserable. Just parents and children, time after time, taking God's name in vain. And actually, it turns out being a vicar makes very little difference. Some of the parents on our team, they know that what I do for a living. When I'm chatting with them, often they'll sort of apologise if they've sworn at me or sworn in our conversation. But they don't seem to realise that continually using God's name is a much more offensive thing to me. How then do we keep this third commandment? If we lose our OMGs and we watch our language, tighten it up, can we tick it off? Move on to number four. Well, as ever, we're going to see these commandments, they take us much deeper into a heart obedience. And there's two things that I want us to see together tonight. And the first is the honour of bearing God's name. The honour of bearing God's name. Now we know, don't we, names really matter. So our new parents, as they come to think of their joyful little one and what they're going to call them, they spend hours, don't they, poring over the baby books, pondering the meanings and wondering what insults someone might make up at a playground in 6 years' time if they choose the wrong one. In fact, spend a few years at Bible college, as we did a few years ago, you'll come across some cracking Bible names for babies. Really good. I think the winner in our day was Hephzibah. Hephzibah, great Old Testament name, means my delight is in her. In fact, God himself uses it over his people. Isn't that beautiful? My delight is in her. Now, in the Bible, names, they're always significant. Often they'll sum up a character for good or for bad. So Jacob, remember, he's the grasper, he's the deceiver. Esau, his brother, the hairy one. Of course, many are happier names as well. Abraham, the father of a multitude. Joshua, Yahweh is salvation. Of course, his name is the one from which we get the name Jesus. And in the same way, well, God's name, I am who I am, it tells us all about who God is. It tells us that he is self-existent. God just is. There wasn't ever a time when he wasn't. He is who he is. No one gets to define him. No one gets to say what he's like because God tells us. And in fact, the longer we dwell on his name, the more we'll see of who he is. He's unchanging. He's eternal. He's life. He's God. And why does he tell Moses his name? Well, it's because he wants his people to know him. He wants them to know him personally, preciously, intimately. He wants them to know his presence going with them as they go. He wants them to know his protection. Because to know Yahweh is to know relationship with him. And knowing names matters, doesn't it? I wonder how you feel when someone forgets your name. I was thinking about this week, and actually when people forget my name, they almost always call me Stephen. I don't know if you get this. I don't know if you've got a particular name that when people get your name wrong, they always call you that name. For me, 90% of the time, Stephen. I guess it's something with starting with an S and ending with an N. There we go. But actually, it hurts a little bit, doesn't it, when people forget our name? Because it makes us think, well, they can't really care very much about me. They haven't even remembered who I am. And actually, I guess we then think, oh, actually, often the boot's on the other foot. So we'll forgive and we'll remember that actually we make the same mistake. And actually, when we do, we feel that same pang, don't we? Oh, I really hope they don't think that I don't care about them because I've forgotten their name. In the same way, the Lord is grieved when his name is not remembered, it's not cared for, it's not honoured in the way that he deserves. And actually, for us as God's people, well, this third commandment, like all the commandments, has a particular significance because God has bestowed that name upon us. He's given us his name. We're meant to remember him, to know him. Now, to help us to understand what's going on, I think there are two words in this third commandment that are particularly important for us to grasp. Now, the NIV here in verse 11, it's a good translation, but actually it slightly obscures these two words. So what I've done is put on the screen, hopefully we should have the ESV translation of the verse, which is there, and it just makes this slightly easier. You can see those two words in italics. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So let's look at that word, take. I think we often think of that word in the sense of uttering or speaking, pronouncing. And actually, certainly that's part of what the command is getting at. We do need, we've been learning in the mornings if you've been with us, we need to watch our words, third commandment. We need to do that. But actually, the word there, take, actually, more ordinarily, just has a broader sense than that. It means to lift up or to carry or to bear. And in fact, in the book of Exodus, which is where the Ten Commandments are first given to God's people, that word actually comes up quite a lot, and most of the time it comes up in that ordinary sense. So Exodus 10, the wind carries the plague of locusts in Egypt. In Exodus 12, the people, do you remember at Passover, they carry their dough before it's leavened. Exodus 19, at Mount Sinai, just before the Ten Commandments are given, the Lord reminds his people how he carried them, he bore them on eagle's wings out of Egypt. And then slightly later on, twice in fact, in Exodus 28, if you remember Aaron receiving all the sort of priestly clothing, and we read about him that he is to bear the names of God's people as a representative, if you like. Whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breastpiece. And in fact, when we get through to Numbers 6, you remember that famous priestly blessing that the Lord says Aaron is to give over the people? The Lord makes it explicit. So we get the blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And then comes the line that actually we don't often say. Verse 27 of chapter 6, number 6. God says, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Do you see the picture? God is putting his name upon his people. They bear his name. Why? Well, if we go back into Exodus 19, remember what God says to them just before the commandments are given. Although the whole earth is mine, he says, you'll be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I am the Lord, your God. You see, it's a bit like invisible ink. God's name is on them. It marks them out as his possession. And it marks them out for holiness, for holy living. A bit like named representatives, if you like. They're meant to be going out to the world, this kingdom of priests, with the name of the Lord on them, to be holy, to bring honor. Well, what about us as God's people today? Do we bear the name? Well, yes. We have that same invisible ink on us, don't we? We've taken the name of the Lord Jesus. If you've come to trust in the Lord Jesus, you've taken his name upon you. Now, if you remember, Jesus is the I Am, isn't he? He has the divine name of himself. John's gospel, we get that repeated right through. I am, says Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. Before Abraham was, I am. When you see the Son of Man lifted up, then you'll know that I am. Jesus is I am who I am. And Jesus is Jesus. That is, he's the one who will save us from our sins. And so just as Israel, if you like, swapped prison numbers in Egypt for a brand new name with the Lord. Well, so says Jesus, and he says this to every one of us. He says, come and take my name. Come, I'll give you life. Come, find light with me where there's only been darkness. Come, find forgiveness where there's only ever been guilt over sin and failure. Jesus calls us, every one of us, to enjoy his name, to come under his name and to know his precious forgiveness. That's why Peter, in his first letter, as he speaks to the Christians, he says, if people knock you for being a Christian, don't be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name. To be a Christian is to bear his name, and it's very precious. Don't be ashamed. And because we bear his name, well, we too, just like Israel, are called to be a holy people. In fact, Peter, slightly earlier in the letter, will take those very words from Exodus 19, and he'll apply them to us. He'll say, no, you're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. So don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So how then do we bear God's name with honor? What does that look like for us? Well, as we've said, it's about more than words, isn't it? And we're going to think about that more broadly in a moment. But actually, our words do matter. And when it comes to God's name, it's very easy for us to be careless. Now, it's a good moment, I think, probably just to mention this book. In fact, we've got a lovely slide as well. Sam's done a great slide of this book. Sam, will you pull that slide up for us? Well, there it is. Kevin DeYoung on the Ten Commandments is a really, really helpful book. If you wanted to read something alongside our sermon series, Kevin DeYoung on the Ten Commandments, or indeed listen to something alongside. This is a great book to get hold of, very accessible, lots of really useful application. So very, very helpful. Particularly helpful on this third commandment. Actually helps us to think about what it looks like to watch our words. He says this, it says something about our attitude towards God if we can speak his name so lightly and carelessly. We're talking about our creator, our savior, our judge and king, the God of the universe, the one who is that he is. He should not have his name tossed out flippantly. How does that land with us? Well, it might be that we need to think about our words, about our swearing or about our joking that takes the name of Jesus. Or perhaps just generally using God's name loosely in the way that we speak. It might be that actually we want to gently and graciously ask colleagues to stop taking Jesus' name in vain. In fact, that can be a great way, can't it, of starting to talk about the wonder of the name of Jesus, talk about the gospel. We might want to reflect on our hearts towards God as we sing his name week by week, so we don't just go through the motions. We're revering the God of the universe. We might want to think about our prayer life. The Lord's name is not honoured by prayers that are hurried or uttered thoughtlessly, or we might add, interrupted by distractions of our own making. Prayer's not a hurdle. It's not an obstacle that we get over before we get to eat food or before the day begins properly. And we're speaking with the Creator. Here's DeYoung again. He says, "No doubt God is more patient with three-year-olds who can't sit still than he is with parents, or any one of us for that matter, who can't slow down to get our minds and hearts in the right place." It's a challenge, isn't it? Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Watch your words. Because the honour of bearing God's name, it goes deeper than words, doesn't it? It is a call to live for God's name right across our lives. That's our second point, the call to live for God's name. Now, come back with me to the third commandment. I think it's up on the screen. There it is. Brilliant. I just want us to now pick up on that second little word, vain. You shall not take or bear the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, for us, I think vain often has that sense of arrogance. That's the way we normally think of people who are vain. But the word actually here has a slightly different sense. It has a meaning of futility or falseness, of being empty or worthless. So we might say to the teenager who's made absolutely no attempt to really tidy their room, that's a vain effort. That's the sense we're looking at. Don't bear the name of the Lord emptily, worthlessly. We might say, don't let your life be a lie about who God is. Of course, that was the story, wasn't it, about God's people in the Old Testament. You remember the prophets? We're told how Israel blasphemed his name with their corrupt living. In fact, we heard that this morning, didn't we, in Romans 2, echoing Isaiah. But we also see how God acts for his name through the prophets. Here's Ezekiel 36. He says, I've got some words on the screen for you. So Ezekiel's been speaking about the people's failure and how they've shamed his name, the Lord's name, wherever they've gone. And then the Lord says through Ezekiel, "Therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things," that is to restore them, to cleanse them, all those wonderful things that we were going to read about in Ezekiel 36, to give them a new heart, to put his spirit upon them. "No," he says, "not for your sake, but for the sake of my holy name, which you've profaned among the nations where you've gone. I'll show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I'm proved holy through you before their eyes." It's not easy to miss, is it? You see how deeply God cares about his name being honored. His people are going to be redeemed. They're going to be restored. Why? Well, so that they can behave and live and think and act and speak and love in the world in ways that bring him glory and honor, proved holy. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And of course, sadly, we know, don't we, that actually taking the Lord's name in vain, it didn't stop with the Old Testament people of God. Now, God's name has forever been used for falseness, used to justify crusades and slavery and apartheid. In fact, it's happening today in Russia, the national church, calling for holy war in Ukraine. I don't know if you've seen this. Supporting the actions of Russia. And defending, in its words, the spiritual space of holy Rus. That's Russia. From the Satanism of the West. It's horrible. See, whenever we say God is for what he is against, or if we say God says when he doesn't say, we tarnish his name. Now, that could be the preacher that promises health and prosperity to his church. It could be bishops saying, God will bless, Jesus doesn't care, when God will not bless, and Jesus cares very much. But actually, for all of us, we need to be wary, don't we, of using God's name to authenticate what we've already decided we want to do. Our own plans, our own decisions. An old pastor, he once told the story of a woman who approached him very excitedly with the news that she'd had a dream. And in her dream, she'd been told by God that the two of them absolutely must get married. Now, what do you do with that pastoral situation? Of course, if God has said that, well, then we better listen very, very carefully. But of course, it quickly became apparent that that was not what God had in fact said. And we need to see the danger, don't we, of making worldly plans and then tacking God's name onto them as if to validate them. Do you know, I feel very clearly that God wants us to live here. I feel like God definitely wants us to do X or Y as a church. I feel like God definitely wants me to have this relationship. And we say, does he? You see, when we want to know God's will, we need to pray. We need to proceed carefully. We need to ask, Lord, how will your name be honored here? That's the question, isn't it? How will your name be honored? And if that fact sounds familiar, it's because that's how Jesus taught us to pray. Remember Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, let your name be hallowed, not just by the people over there. No, Lord, let your name be hallowed in me, in us. Lord, let your name be hallowed in my studies or in my workplace. Lord, let your name be hallowed in my friendships. Lord, today, would your name make a difference to every encounter, every person that I meet? Would your name be hallowed through the way that I speak to them, the way that I engage with them? Do you know, as a young Christian, I think one of the most painful comments that I could hear from friends was, I thought you were meant to be a Christian. You ever had that? Gets you, doesn't it? Now, sometimes they were wrong, but actually, more often they were probably right. They'd noticed a hypocrisy, a gap between what I was meant to be and what I was. And in fact, we take the name of the Lord in vain whenever there is a gap between his life and ours, the Lord Jesus' life and ours. See, whenever the mark of his name on our lives seems to make no difference in our lives. It's a bit like wearing a school uniform out into town. I don't know if you had this. I'm sure everyone had this at one point during school life. You know, the headmaster sort of rolls up and says, now look, you're wearing the school uniform. You're representing the school. The reputation of the school is on the line. You must behave with honor appropriate to the school. You see, when people look at God's people, they're meant to see a reflection of the Lord Jesus. Let's not let our lives be a lie. Honor the name of the Lord. Friends, I want us to be honest. How are we getting on with the third commandment? It would definitely have been more comfortable, wouldn't it, if God had left out the second half of verse 11. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I, for one, have felt the challenge of that this week. I haven't carried the name of Christ with honour much of the time. The hypocrisy is actually, it's not just what used to happen in my life. No, the hypocrisy is still there. And I suspect that's true of every one of us in this room, if we slow down and ask God honestly to show us where we've fallen short. What do? We come back, don't we, to the name that is above every name. We remember that our guilt has been washed away forever by the blood of his sacrifice. And we remember that we bear his name not because we're brilliant law keepers, but because he was a brilliant law keeper who kept God's word perfectly. And he died for us knowing the very worst of what you and I are capable of. See, bearing the name of Christ today means he surely loves us still, even though we're a mess. He surely applies his forgiveness to us still, even though we fall short so very often. So we come back to the name above every name. And we remember those wonderful promises that one day his name will be hallowed, as it should be, even by us, even by me. That one day every knee will bow before him. And in the words of Revelation, that the name of the Father and the Lamb will be forever on the foreheads of his faithful people. If you like, the invisible ink will be indelible ink and will be forever hallowing his name. And so as we walk on as his people bearing his name, friends, let's cherish the honor of his name bestowed on us. In the words of the Apostle Paul, let me encourage you this week. See, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's take a moment of quiet and then we'll pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we praise you for this wondrous honor of being counted as yours, as being, Lord, bestowed with this beautiful name of Christ, this glorious, precious, saving name, the name that is to be worshipped, trusted and adored. And Lord, you know how far we fall short. And yet you delight over your people. And help us in the security and the joy of that wonderful forgiveness and peace that we enjoy with you. Lord, give us a joy and a zeal to honor you this week in all that we do. To the glory of your name. Amen.